Okay. How are we doing? That one wasn't too long. We'll keep going. Going deeper in the Lord. The number one thing, it's about your relationship. I heard a man preach, and he was actually talking about church and community and family, and he kept saying these words, it's about relationship. That's all I could hear in the Spirit. For weeks, all I could hear God saying over and over to me, I'd drive the car, it's about relationship. It's about relationship. It's about relationship. And he was changing my perspective to understand that that is what he desired. Genesis 1, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. You were created for fellowship, friendship with God. That was your purpose. It says we were made for His good pleasure. Ephesians 1, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. We are adopted or born again into a family. The Father, He is our Father. He's your Father. He's not just the Lord God Almighty. He is that. He is the Lord God Almighty, but He's also chosen to be your Father, and you're His child. He is pleased when we spend quality time with Him, which means all of our praying shouldn't be on the fly in the car. There should be dedicated times and places that are just for Him. Matthew 18, verily I say to you, except you be converted and become as little children, you will not enter in the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because children come not knowing anything, not even knowing when they've done something wrong half the time. They come with dirty faces and, you know, fudgesicle on them, and they're sticky and they're a mess, and they don't, you know, they just come crawling up in your lap. And I believe that that's the heart of God, that there's times when we just need to be like little kids. Just loving Him. You don't have to be deeply spiritual. God is not impressed. God is not impressed no matter how deep you go. He can wave His hand and you can have that. And that is not impressive to Him. Your heart is impressive to Him. He loves us as children who come to Him as ones who know nothing. So even when you know a lot, when you come to God, you know nothing. Oh, Lord, I know nothing before You. Show me what You say. Except to know Christ and Him crucified. Oh, no, the mouse thing is there. Go away. Okay, Proverbs. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Talking about the Lord. Song of Solomon. This is my beloved and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Talking about you. Talking about us, the bride. This is my beloved and this is my friend. That's our relationship. Psalms 2:12. Kiss the Son. I was so shocked when I read that scripture the first time. Kiss the Son. Does that sound like God is formal or wants to be distant? No. Song of Solomon 1:2. Let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth, for Thy love is better than wine. He has called us His bride and actually compared our relationship to a bridal chamber. Because what He's saying is that there's to be such a closeness between us. But it doesn't matter. You know, even when I mess up, this is why it's important to have this revelation. Even if I blow it, and even if I blow it bad or feel terrible, like you said, Jonathan Edwards felt really bad. He blew his fast. There are times where I was really trying to do something and I blew it or failed and felt just wretched. Have you ever just felt like, oh, I'm such a skunk, you know? I'm so sorry, God. I can't even face You. But, you know, one time I was feeling guilty and I said, God, I want to talk to You, but I just can't even face You right now. I just can't. God said, now's when you need to talk to Me. He said, I want You to come into My presence. He said, you know what you're going to do? You're going to stay out of My presence until you felt bad enough for long enough, which for me was usually about 3 days. Then He said, you're going to come crawling in and say, oh, God, forgive me. He said, I want to forgive you now. He said, by the way, you can't fix this outside My presence, but if you come in My presence, I can help you. I can deliver you. I can set you free from this thing that plagues you. Whatever it is, there's nothing that you can't take in. See, we think we got to get holy enough to go into the Holy of Holies. You can't do it. You go into the Holy of Holies with your mess and say, God, I'm here. Oh, God, I'm before the mercy seat with the blood on it. cleanse me. It's in the Holy of Holies that He makes you holy, or that He helps you be delivered and set free. See, we've had it backwards because the church taught it backwards. You've got to be good enough or God is going to blast you. But that's not the new covenant. The new covenant is you go into that place. You know, Hebrews, and I think I've got this on one of the slides later, but Hebrews says He has forever made perfect those who are being made holy. You are being made holy, but He sees you as having been made perfect by the blood of Christ. That is very liberating. If you really get that in your soul, then Satan can never keep you out. So it doesn't matter what kind of day you're having. If you understand this concept, you can live in God, you can work for Him, you can heal the sick, you can pray for people with confidence, because you know it's nothing you did right. And that He's helping people in spite of your sorry lifestyle and whatever. And in the meantime, He loves you enough that when you come into His presence, He will cleanse you if your heart is right. And the one requirement is you must have a truly contrite heart. He doesn't like people just schlagging around thinking, well, I can act any way I want. Christ died for me. That's a stinking heart. And that heart is a heart that's in trouble. Because that heart, a lot of times, if you have that, and you know, I've seen people with that attitude that actually fall away from God because that heart is impure. You know, He said, be perfect as I am perfect. But I believe what He meant is, let your heart be a perfect heart. You know, He said that people were upright. And you know, even I think He even said perfect. But when He talked about Zechariah and Elizabeth, so they were upright. So Job was upright. Well, I'm sure that doesn't mean that Job had never, ever, ever sinned or said anything wrong. But what it meant was he had a perfect heart. He was upright before the Lord. He kept his heart right. Okay, 1 Corinthians 6, the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with Him. Isn't that great? There is a way to dwell or permanently abide in Him, in His presence, in relationship with Him, and with a continual awareness of His love, presence, and power, and always able to hear Him, always able to commune with Him. But we need to grow in relationship to get there. You can commune with the Holy Spirit in the garden of God and taste the Lord's delights. Taste and see that the Lord is good. As you grow, you will encounter peace, refreshing, joy, deep places of rest in your soul, visions, trances, meditation in the Word. Meditation in the Word is extremely powerful. It means after you've read the Word, and you can take one scripture and just ponder it. Just think about it. Just think on it. And God will open up knowledge to you. Heavenly encounters and dreams. I talked about Peter's trance on the roof. Jesus in the wilderness, the angels ministering to Him. Angels will come and bring you songs and messages. I've had times when I asked the Lord to give me something. I remember one time, Gail, you'll remember this. Our pastor was having a special, I think it was like the 15th anniversary of the church or of him being in ministry or something. And I was doing the choir thing, and I asked the Lord for a song, a special song that we could learn and sing for that event. And I'd asked Him for it, and then went on my way. You know, a lot of times when you ask, He may answer you in a few hours or tomorrow. That's okay. Just go on your way and know that He will answer you. I'm sitting at work, busy working. I'm at a desk, sitting at a desk, and I feel a hand on my shoulder. And I stop. Now, there's no visible. It was an angel. And He said, I brought you your song. Get your pen. Gave me the song, gave me the notes. God had taught me a way to write out the notes on paper so that later I'll remember the tune, not just the... You know, He gave me a system for writing the notes and the timing. And He gave me this song, and we sang it at the thing. See, I asked Him for it. We had times where I was sitting at the kitchen table in our old house, our house on Swift Row that we used to live at, and had Angel come and stand behind me and say, write this down, and He began to give a message. Now, why some messages come from angels and some from the Holy Ghost, I don't know. I don't know why it seems sometimes an angel is dispatched. I don't know. Someone smarter than me can answer that. Meditation with Him brings great revelation. This is kind of a learned thing. I can't talk a lot about it because I'm actually learning meditation right now. I'm not talking about rest, and I'm talking about meditating on the Word. That's a practice that I'm practicing and learning, and I'm finding phenomenal revelation. Solution to problems outside the garden, meaning the stuff in your worldly circumstances and issues, become very clear when you come away, my beloved. The number one requirement for going deeper in God, your time. Joyce Meyer said, you know someone's priorities not by what they say their priorities are, but by where they spend their time. You can say God is first, but the truth of the matter is, if he gets the least amount of your time at the very end of the day when you're pooped, he's not your first priority. Everybody say, ow. Okay, hermits or monks. There actually is a reason that people are called hermits. I used to jokingly say I'm a hermit because I always was a kind of a loner. I love to be alone even. I just love to be with God alone. And when I used to agonize, I wanted to be used so badly of God, and I just didn't have anything to offer the body of Christ or offer people. I felt so bad about it. And God said something to me one time. He said, if you lived alone on a desert island, you could fulfill a ministry if you'll simply say what I give you to say. Because what you're doing is causing things to come to pass by prophesying into the earth. Well, God led me to look up the word hermit. There's a huge amount of data on hermits. They were called that because they were people who actually chose a dedicated life to God. And about a year ago, God had me studying these guys. They would sometimes build a little room that had only a little window on it. It was like on the outside of a church building. And this little place lived in this little room because they had chosen to dedicate their whole life to the presence of the Lord. Same with some monks. I had been a very, very busy person, way over busy, way too booked up. Some of you need to unbook. Some of you need to undo some of the things you do because you're doing too much to really be with the Lord as much as you need to be. And so you need to start saying no. When people say, will you do? No. Would you consider? No. And sometimes there's a time when you need to put God before helping everybody else. He'll allow you to help people, but if he's not first, it's out of order. So one time I was way over busy. I was doing church and helps and work and home and all kinds of stuff. And frankly, I was a miserable wreck, frustrated, loved God with all my heart, but really was miserable, just way too busy. God started telling me, you better get out of some stuff. Get out, get out, get out. Suddenly, I found myself flat on my back with pneumonia, real heavy pneumonia, because I hadn't figured out how to get out of stuff. And suddenly, a bunch of things transpired almost overnight where I found myself out of every single thing except work. The only thing I had was work and nothing. Happened overnight. Suddenly, I was alone and had all kinds of time and all kinds of alone. And that was fine with me because I like alone. But I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to... You know, suddenly it's shocking change. Very shocking. What do I do? And he led me to read up on some of the monks that dedicated themselves to go live out in the desert. One guy went out and lived on a plateau, dedicated himself to the presence of the Lord. Some brothers would come out every day and he'd lower a basket on a rope and they'd put, you know, bread and water, food and water, and he'd raise it up and he lived up there. He became so filled with the presence of God. People started flocking out into the desert to find him. Because he had the wisdom of God. People would come walk miles, like 20 miles, to come and hear what this guy would preach because he was living in the presence. So God told me, he said, I want you to live like a monk. And I had about 2 years where I got to be completely alone. I did go to work, and other than that, I came home and I got to just be dedicated to his presence. And I'll tell you, we had fun. We had a great time. I had, at one point, actually, this is the first... Edgar came to Illinois. He was living in the Southwest, and the Lord had him come to Illinois, and we were praying, and we started having experiences in God, and Edgar went on out, and he was staying with this pastor out in Sandwich, Illinois, and I came home from work, and I was in my house, and there was rain. There was, in the Spirit, it was raining. It was lightning, thunder, and rain in my living room. I was walking around in a fog. The presence of the Lord had come in my house in a very powerful way. Okay, one of the greatest benefits of this lifestyle is that he himself will mentor you and disciple you at every level of your growth. You just have to keep asking him. Every step of the way, ask him, well, how do I do that? I don't get it. What am I missing? What's my barrier? What do I need to do? And he will teach you himself. He'll find a way to get it to you. And if you don't hear from him yet, he'll have somebody say it to you. He'll have it speak it on the radio, or you'll open the Word. Or he'll find a way. If you ask him and trust him, he will answer you. At every level of your growth, the way to be a disciple is to learn how to communicate with him as a close friend or companion. And think, if you had a mentor And you do. But imagine if you had a person who was an expert who went everywhere with you and all day long you just ask him questions and he just pour it out. That's who's living on the inside of you. I've said this 3 times, but it's worth saying. Your frustration becomes peace, fretting becomes faith, and worry becomes rest. And I'm stuck. Setting up habits that will cause you to move into greater relationship. I always like to say, sometimes if you get away from the presence of God, you'll start to lose your edge. Within about 3 days, you'll start to feel a little bit of an edge loss. If you keep going that way, you'll get backslid. Sometimes people call me crying. I can tell what's happened. All that's happened is they've gotten away from God. You know, they may have a good heart and love Him with all their heart. Doesn't mean anything bad, but they were away from Him too long. And when that happens, things are going to begin to wear on you. It's going to begin to be too much. Well, what I like to say is, if you've been backslid or you've gotten a little bit away from Him, you can front slide on purpose. You can. And what you do is you set up on purpose habits and patterns that cause you to draw near to God. You say, okay, every day I'm at 8 o'clock, we have a date, God. I'm going to spend at least 20 minutes doing this. At noon, I'm going to spend a half an hour praying in tongues. When I get in the car, I'm going to listen to the Bible. When I come home and I go to bed at night, you set up some things that you're going to do, and you do them, and you will draw near to God. This is why God had the Jews have a Sabbath, a Shabbat, at the end of every week, because it caused them, one day out of seven, for a full 24 hours, they were dedicated to God. Well, you can't backslide. You can't backslide when that's gone. You got to see the word of God. You got to say it when you get up, say it when you go to bed, write it on your forehead, stick it on the front door of your house, write it on your hand. What was He doing? He was causing them to constantly be in His face, constantly remembering, constantly renewing their mind, constantly thinking of Him. You can't backslide when that happens. And if you're backslid, you can walk back into His presence by setting up distinct habits that will help you. One of the things, I used to do about 3 or 4 times a year, but it got so, it's not quite that often, but where I would actually run away from home for 2 or 3 days, go to a place where no one can find me. No TV, no phone. I guess 2 years ago, I snuck away, and praise God, I have a husband that'll let me do this. But I went to Green Lake, what a lovely place that's dedicated to prayer, and I stayed there, and I'm telling you, I had the most wonderful time with God, and He did some miracles there. It was just fantastic, life-changing. And I would encourage you, if you can at all do that, to have some times that you can do that just by yourself. And don't be afraid. He will meet you there. Don't be afraid. I talked about that. Even if you don't keep the Sabbath formally, some believers do enjoy keeping Shabbat, others do not. But His rest, that's what Sabbath is. It's an absolute must for hearing from Him and going deeper. Have times of the day that are dedicated. Another thing I like to do is have weekly prayer with others. There'll be times when you don't feel like praying, and guess what? You have to, because they'll be calling you, hey, where are you? That's a good thing. Pray with people that'll keep you accountable. Keep your face in the Word. Yes, I know. Edgar's waving his arms. He is getting to go to Liberia.
You did okay.
Okay, come on up here for a second. I'm going to interrupt what I'm doing. I just want to share this with you. This is a miracle.
Hey.
Edgar's got an opportunity to go to Liberia with a team. They are going to meet with all kinds of dignitaries.
The entire Senate.
Entire Senate. I think the president.
The president. And I'm not going to do what I told you, but I'll let you do it. Anyway, I need your prayers. I'm leaving in exactly 2 hours. We didn't even have a flight. Yesterday, we had no flight. We had nothing. We didn't have the money. And one person came up with quite a large amount of money to help me. I'm still a little short. That's all right. I just pray that the entire Senate will open their hearts. Because when I go down there, I got a thing this big. I don't know what it weighs. It's full of all of the chocolate candy for the kids. And that's all I can do this time. Usually I bring a whole suitcase full. But I couldn't quite handle it. But anyway, pray for me in Africa. I'm going to be down there 12 days. And this is a business trip. But I'm the spiritual head. And the business trip is to set up a plant. Can I take 1 minute?
Yeah.
This plant produces a product that's the strongest product you ever see in your life of building homes and bridges. And the people I'm with, we own it. So we're going to build a plant down there that give us the property already, and we're getting contracts for money, okay? And if I had the money, I'd invest it in the company myself. It's just that I don't have it. But make a long story short, pray that God will be with us to be a blessing to people. We just want to bless. I just want to bless other people. See? And that's what it's all about. So it's a pleasure seeing you here today. Thank you for coming. And I had to come up and hug you. The kiss is important.
Father God, we lift Edgar up in this team. And thank you, Lord, that you have done this. This is your trip, God.
Amen.
Father, I thank you that you're going to provide everything they need. Everything. Father, including what they need to feed the orphans,
yes,
including
Lord.
What they need to stay in the hotel. You're going to anoint them as you always are. Father, every time they go to Africa, I see so many amazing miracles.
Yes.
Father, I thank you that the favor of the Lord is on them.
Yes. Amen.
And I ask your favor to shine upon them through the whole trip. I ask you to keep them in your perfect peace.
Amen.
I ask you that protection will be all around them, that no weapon formed against them will prosper. In Jesus' name. And that you will stop the mouths of those that want to harm. Because I know there's been a lot of witchcraft there, but we will not allow anything to happen.
Amen.
To our team. And Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that all of them will remain healthy and strong.
Yes,
and they'll come home with wonderful stories of God things to share,
yes,
with
Lord.
Us. And Father, I just ask that you put them occasionally on our hearts that we can intercede.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You know, your services have blessed me beyond words because
yeah.
I've been to Kenya now 3 times. And then last year I didn't go, and now I'm going back again. But the first time I went, there's one person in here, one lady. There's actually 3 ladies, but there's one lady in here that made that entire trip possible, the first 2 trips. I mean, made it possible, financially. Then the next time I'm back, God sent another lady through this service. They're here now. That made it possible for me to get down there. And now this trip, the third lady, she's in here now. I'm not going to tell you who they are. She made this trip possible. So I want to thank you. God bless you, and God bless those ladies in every way.
And I just want to say the ladies who gave and those who've given to help the orphans, you know, some of you have been so faithful to bless, because we give every single month. There's an automatic transfer out of the EBM account to an account that's just for the orphans in Africa. And you guys have given so faithfully. But, you know, the Lord said that the people who stay by the spoils,
amen,
they inherit the same blessing as those that went to war. So anybody that ever, I just thank you. Those of you that have given, I can start bawling. I just thank you so much for your faithfulness to God, because you've sent, you have no idea. This guy, I mean, you have no idea what happens when he goes to Africa. I've never seen anything like it. He goes to a country, and the first time he went, all he could think of was these orphans, because we've seen this thing where these countries, they have millions of orphans. I'm talking millions in each country, because there's so many deaths from AIDS. These poor little children, and so there's orphanages everywhere, and there needs to be more. These little children need to find out about Christ, otherwise they're going to be running the streets and eating out of a garbage dump. And Edgar got a heart for that. And he went thinking of orphans. And every country he has gone to, God has opened the doors. I'm talking about miraculously. He'll go to a restaurant and he meets people from Parliament, the diplomatic secretary, the vice president, every country he goes to. And it's like he's not even looking for that. He went to feed orphans. And he got the whole diplomatic police force to receive Christ, about 200 guys. Because when the chief got healed, he was on his deathbed. He'd lost all this weight. He was under 100 pounds. Edgar prayed for him, not even know what the problem was. The guy was miraculously healed. I mean, I'm telling you, when you send Edgar somewhere, stuff happens, you know. So I'm just thanking you from the bottom of my heart for your faithfulness to God. Hallelujah. You know, I just praise the Lord. It's been a kind of a rough year, the last year, and you know, there's times when you're in the ministry where you just think, oh, it's not worth it. I want to tell you, this seminar and you guys have made it worth it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Okay. Oh, we lost some people. Did everybody leave with Edgar? Okay. One time when I was feeling a little bit I wasn't where I wanted to be with Jesus. I was on a camping trip, and he was with me and still talking to me and everything, but I was just feeling like I wasn't where I wanted to be. And I said that to him. I said, "Lord, I just feel like I want to come closer to you." And he said these words, "I can change your life in 30 days. And I remember when he did that, it was Memorial Day weekend. And so the very next day, I think, was the beginning of a new month. So I said, "Well, I'm going to take that month and you show me." There, it's good sometimes to have a dedicated time, month, week, weekend, whatever, where you say no to other things. It doesn't mean it's for the rest of your life. But you take that time and dedicate it to God and have special times of prayer, maybe fasting. And I'm telling you, that next 30 days, he did change my life and brought me even closer. I like to do times of fasting. I used to do partial fasting every single day, meaning half of every day. Every single day. And I'll tell you, I saw major, major miracles. For some, getting into a communion with God will require some changes in habit, but it doesn't need to be difficult. He that dwells or lives continually in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Habits can be set up to draw us closer. Devotion, reading, communion, worship, regularly repeated by devoted disciples. You are a devoted disciple. It keeps our mind stayed on Him. Isaiah 26, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." One requirement for a person that will grow into a place where they can live continually in His presence is time. God wants to immerse us into new ways of thinking, new ways of relating to Him. He is bringing you into a place of living in Him in the garden. This weekend, right now, can be the starting point of a new lifestyle for those who desire more of Him. And I believe we're going to... Hallelujah. We're going to have a little Holy Ghost time right now, and then we're going to take a lunch break. But what I want to do, I was going to do something else for a Holy Ghost exercise, and this morning, when God showed me that screen door thing, that storm door, it was like a child looking through this glass, and they could see the sun, but they couldn't get out and go play. They couldn't go out into the presence of the sun. And I felt like, as I asked God what that was, I felt like He said, "Some of the people in here, you're raring to go and you want to, but there's been something. It can be anything. It can be a fear, a doubt. But God wants to break those barriers today. So what we're going to do is we're going to sit in His presence. Is it warm in here, or am I just under the Holy Ghost?
No.
That's me? Okay. Somebody said to me, "Weren't you cold last night?" No. No, I was perspiring. Okay, so we're going to listen to the Holy Ghost. And what I want you to specifically ask Him is, and you may already have gotten through this in the last, you know, you may have already know what your next step is. You may already know. But if you have, if you're not sure, or if you feel like you're hindered, we're going to ask Him to show you, is there any barrier? And I may speak some things by word of knowledge because He's shown me what some are, but He may also speak something to you. And then what we're going to do is pray for Him to remove that barrier and release you into the next phase of your relationship with Him and your ministry with Him. One of the things He showed me, though, is there are some people in here, there, that disappointment thing is still rising up. Sometimes disappointment can make you feel, even though it's not true, it makes our emotions feel as though God wasn't there for us. And most people won't admit that out loud, but many Christians have had to deal with that. And even though in your mind you know the truth that God would never leave or forsake you, in your heart you feel like, why didn't He fix that? Or why didn't, you know, sometimes people have had truly terrible things happen to them. And the reason I know this is something truly terrible happened to me in my life. Something so bad that I couldn't believe a good God would actually let that happen to someone who was totally devoted to Him. I was devoted to Him with all my heart, and something unthinkable happened to me. And I couldn't deal with it. And I will be honest, there were times when I thought, God, why didn't you intervene? Why did that happen? And it was so hurtful. I couldn't speak it because, of course, we can't say things like that in church, that we doubted God's goodness. But it hurt. And you know, that can be a barrier if you feel that, and you may know in your mind, you know that God's, you know it's not true, but in your emotions and in your soul, sometimes you can come into what they call a bitterness of soul, a grieving or a hurting because something didn't turn out the way it ought to have, or the way the Word said it should have, or, you know, if someone's lost a child, that's almost, you know, it takes the grace of God to understand something like that. You know, God didn't kill that child. You know, it was the enemy, but anything like that, I believe God wants to clear the air. And last night he said there are people with severe disappointments that have had a rough, rough road. And it has felt sometimes like, where is God in all of this? And I saw God take his hand and sweep it like that and wash away the roughness of the road and the difficulty of the journey. I saw him pulling out the disappointment out of your emotional realm, pulling it out, saying this doesn't belong to you anymore. And I'll tell you, with me, when it happened to me, you know, when you're in it, there's a couple of ways it could come out. Some people get stuck for years and never do forgive what they think God did or didn't do. But if you hang on to God and keep talking to him, keep asking and keep listening, he will cause it to become a great foundation and a testimony. The worst thing that ever happened to you, he'll turn it into his glory and something wonderful for you. Everything that I'm able to do is based on a foundation of that terrible thing that happened to me. And because of that thing, I'm able to stand here. Because of what I learned in the bad season. A hard, hard season that was some years long. And what I learned in that tough place is what makes me able to do this. And what makes me able to walk with him in this way. And I wouldn't trade now. I wouldn't trade that horrible time in my life. I wouldn't trade it. Because it's what changed me on the inside. So when you're in it, you can either let it transform you by the power of God, or you can get stuck there, you know, and stay in it with a bitterness of heart, a grieving of heart. So that's not for everybody, but that was for someone. God wants to pull all that out of your soul right now. So in the name of Jesus, we release that. And for the rest of us, Lord, I ask you right now, each of us ask you, show us, do we have any limitation or barrier that keeps us from truly coming in to the presence of the Lord? Amen.